Upheaval, Breaking Point, Chapter 18, Torado's Choice. Welcome to Bastion City, Your Highness, the pony guard said. Luna dipped her head slightly towards the guard to show her appreciation. To her, his face may as well have been chiseled out of rock. It was the same for the other guards posted along the wall where she had landed, and it was the sort of reaction that she had expected. The ponies of the barrier lands were not quite sure how to feel about her. She knew that many of them despised Celestia and adored Torado, but she guessed that she had not done much to place herself in either of these extremes. Her worry had been that these ponies would resent her for being the one who provoked King Fenrir and causing the Wolven to avalanche from the north.
"Don't flatter yourself,"
her brother had once told her. It was more than 1,000 years ago, before the barrier came up.
"He could have borrowed a cup of sugar from Celestia, and he would have attacked just as happily if she shorted him one grain."
Luna didn't know how much of what her brother said was true, how much of it was meant to comfort her, and how much was to justify Celestia's refusal to give her over to the rapturous Wolven King, even if it meant war. She put those thoughts aside. She didn't come here to gauge whether Torado's ponies liked her or not. She was here to find the bearers of the Elements of Harmony. It was night time when she had arrived in Bastion City. Though she had teleported out of her brother's fortress, she had only traveled 3/4 of the distance to this place by magic. Long-range teleportation was exhausting, far more exhausting than flight. She wanted to conserve some of her strength in case she arrived at the city, only to find that the fighting had already begun. Though she didn't relish the thought of having her brother's hoofprints on her face, she was ready to take part in the fighting if it was necessary.
"Do you need anything, Your Highness?" one of the guards asked. "We are here to serve."
It was hard to make anything out of such a neutral voice. Concern, respect, enthusiasm, even scorn or annoyance would have been comforting. It was as if they were reading from a script that her brother provided them.
"Some rest," Luna replied. "Do you have some place I can stay?"
The guards bowed again.
"Of course, Your Highness. A room has already been prepared for you."
They led the way from the walls to what was easily the largest building in Bastion City. Passers-by gave Luna a curious look and nothing more as she went through the streets. She had to admire the discipline by which Torado's ponies conducted themselves. There was much to do to prepare for the Wolven. No time could be spared for gawking at anything, not even the prince's younger sister. The room Luna was provided with was comfortable enough. It was spacious, with a large bed and a cozy fire by one side. The blankets were fur, something that she quickly decided not to think about. It was nowhere near the opulence of the royal palace, but she imagined that it was far better than the average room in this city. She took to the bed and closed her eyes. The plan was simple for now. Get some rest, then search for the bearers of the Elements of Harmony tomorrow. Though Luna had been upset with her sister for banishing Twilight Sparkle and the others, she felt that she was at fault as well. She was the one who helped Twilight break the memory lock, setting off the chain of events that led to this point. She held on to the hope that they had somehow made it safely out of Fangbreaker Fortress. The thought of finding out that they had died would be crushing. Twilight's eyebrows furrowed deeper as she concentrated on a page of her new spellbook. There were a lot of reasons why she was having trouble with learning these spells. First of all, its format was far from the spellbook she was used to. There was no table of contents nor an introduction. When she looked at the last pages, there was no bibliography as well. Behind her, a rustling from one of the beds told Twilight that some pony was waking up. She considered it a bad sign. She had woken up very early, though not enough to catch Vanguard and Scarlet waking up. She had done so to get a head start at studying this book. The extra time she had bought for herself had gone without much progress to show for it. She only grew more determined to study when she heard a yawn.
"Not this again,"
Spike muttered. He had enough foresight to keep his voice low to avoid waking the others.
Don't worry, Spike, Twilight replied. I got some sleep. I just woke up earlier to keep studying.
She heard him sigh, which was followed by some more rustling as he searched through the room.
First it was that coin, now it's that book, Spike said. Every time Vanguard gives you something, you lose a ton of sleep. Both times they're important enough, Twilight said. I need to memorize at least one of these spells so I can show that I can be useful to the Legion.
Her eyes narrowed.
That's a good way to put it, she thought.
Learning spells sounded innocuous enough. She had been doing that all her life. The reality was that she was going to have to kill Woven if she was going to be useful to the Legion. The spells she were trying to memorize were all to that effect. Vanguard's words from yesterday had stung her, as had his doubt. She had realized that she may have spoken rashly about standing side by side with the Legion, but she was determined more than ever to prove her sincerity.
"So, how are you doing with those spells?" Spike asked. "Knowing you, you should have one or two down pat by now." "I thought that too, but it's a lot harder than I expected."
To Twilight's relief, Spike didn't say anything else. It had only taken a couple of pages before Twilight realized that Pyre Valor had not planned on writing down a spellbook or sharing this book with others. She had taken Vanguard's gift with the intention of writing whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted, and however she wanted. The result was a hodgepodge of notes, references, and spells that proved difficult to navigate. To make matters worse, some of the notes didn't even have anything to do with magic. Twilight started down one note, thinking she had finally come across something she could do, only to find out that it was a recipe for brewed Lichen tea. At the very last page was a crudely drawn caricature of what she could only guess was supposed to be an alicorn with its wings torn off. Fountains of blood gushed out of the stumps. Celestia was helpfully written underneath the drawing, with an arrow pointing towards it. There was also the handwriting. Twilight understood that this must have been written when Pyre Valor was younger, a lot younger. Just reading the words was a challenge in itself. Pyre Valor wrote with a lot of passion, which showed in the sharp, bold lines and wild loops. The quill often pressed down deeply enough to leave indentations on the other page. Splotches of ink and a few page tears were the consequences of such a style. She even found a broken quill tip between the pages. Then there were the spells themselves. It was through reading them that Twilight realized that, if she had a discussion on magic with Pyre Valor, the two of them would be at each other's throats in a minute. For her, casting spells meant control. Magic was a force to be carefully shaped, maintained, and applied. Whenever a spell went wild and caused unintended consequences, it was a fault of the spellcaster. This was why each spell had to be studied and experimented with before being used. From the notes and spells, she gathered that Pyre Valor believed differently. For Pyre Valor, magic was a dangerous and violent force to be unleashed, not applied. If a spell harmed unintended targets, it was their fault for getting in the way. There were very little notes on how to aim the spell or how much magic was to be used. The closest she could find were "wing it" and "as much as you want without blowing yourself up." Instead, Pyre Valor focused on how to quickly gather magical power and how to convert it to some other energy. Fire, as was always the case in this book. All those previous observations had come later. The very first thing that Twilight noticed about Pyre Valor's spells was that she really, really loved fire. The first three spells she had deciphered involved projecting a ray of heat to ignite combustible materials, causing a short jet of flame to burst from her outstretched hoofs, and causing a steady blade of concentrated flame to emerge from her horn. There was also the fireball spell, whose devastating effect she had already witnessed. Pyre Valor's name should have been a dead giveaway, but it was a spell choice that really hammered the point in.
"Good morning," Spike said.
Twilight looked behind her to find the rest of her friends waking up. None of them looked very comfortable, and she couldn't blame them.
The beds were rather hard, certainly not what they were used to back in the heartland. Rarity stretched out her back painfully and yawned.
Speak for yourself, dear, she said. This morning is officially good once I find a bath, a comb, and a decent breakfast.
I'm fine with finally getting something to do,
Rainbow Dash said. She whipped the crust from her eyes.
I can't stand any more waiting.
Speaking of waiting, some ponies decided not to wait for us, Applejack said. Where's Vanguard and Scarlet?
Did some pony mention Scarlet?
Scarlet Rabbit burst through the door with a bag full of loaves of bread, tucked in one foreleg and a large canteen in the other.
Breakfast time, he said. Day-old bread, sea-grade winter moss, and some hot lichen tea to wash it down with.
Twilight noticed that he was wearing a different set of bedding from before. Instead of plain brown material, he was wearing a fine coat of chain with plates of metal distributed around his chest, flanks, and face. Rarity didn't share in the enthusiasm when she received a loaf of the bread. The crust was already quite tough, although the moss baked into it helped it to go down. Rainbow Dash, on the other hoof, wolfed down her share.
So what do we get to do now, Scarlet?
She mumbled through her chewing.
You're in luck,
Scarlet replied.
Vanguard and I got news that Princess Luna just arrived last night. After eating, I'll take you to the public baths so you can fix yourselves up. Then I'm going to escort you to the princess.
What is she doing here?
Twilight asked.
Did you find out?
To check up on you chosen, I was told,
Scarlet replied with a shrug.
You can ask her yourself as soon as you meet her.
These baths, how are they?
Rarity asked.
Are they clean? Crowded? I certainly hope they provide soap and towels.
Well, they've got hot water, Scarlet answered. It'll clean you without giving you frostbite.
Rarity sighed and tried to fix her completely bedraggled mane with her hoofs.
I suppose we will make do, she said.
Great, finish up quickly so we can go,
Scarlet said as he tore through a loaf of bread.
So, where's Vanguard? Applejack asked. Ain't he eating with us?
The grin on Scarlet's face drooped a little.
Well, he scratched his head with a hoof. We were going back together, but we sort of ran into Flight Captain Tailwind along the way. I had to go on ahead since he was going to take some time.
Rainbow Dash finished her share of the tea with a single gulp.
Well, I'm done, she said. Let's get going.
Every pony soon followed. They put their newly bought cloaks and boots on and headed out. The public baths were not bad, despite Rarity's worries. Along the way, Scarlet told them more about the place. The job of keeping water hot in the bitter cold of the north was taken seriously by Bastion City's residents. Public baths were deemed more efficient than getting a constant supply of hot water going through each home, so several were built over the course of the centuries. Each bathhouse consisted of two large pools, one for the stallions and another for the mares. Soap and towels were provided, but a small fee, which Scarlet took care of, had to be paid before getting in. The soak was a welcome sensation. They had just spent days exposed to the elements out in the wilderness, leaving them sticky with sweat and covered in dust. Twilight was relieved that the dried blood on her coat managed to wash off. Her injury had healed up well, enough so that she could soak in hot water without opening it.
"Oh, this is simply divine!" Rarity exclaimed. "It feels like forever since I last took a bath."
"I gotta admit that this ain't half bad," Applejack said. Pinky, stop that,
she told the pink pony who was swimming around, much to the annoyance of the other bassers.
This ain't a place for swimming.
I hope Spike is all right, Twilight said.
He's with Scarlet, he'll be fine,
Rainbow Dash said confidently. As if to answer Twilight's question, Rosh's laughter echoed from over at the stallion pool. Scarlet's voice reached them despite the distance.
"Do that trick again, Spike!"
he exclaimed. Twilight looked over to the stallion pool in time to see a jet of green flames appear, followed by a delighted cheering from the stallions.
"See?"
Rainbow Dash said with a grin. After some time, they left the public bath, with the owner seeing them off.
"You can come here any time, Dragon,"
the yellow-green Pegasus stallion said. I'll save a fortune on heating with that breath of yours. Let me know if you need a job.
I will,
Spike replied. A rather relieved smile crossed his face. Having completed their soak, Scarlet led them through the streets of Bastion City. The same as yesterday, every pony was busy rushing about. Twilight noticed that her group drew more stares now.
I'm betting that those chosen are the reason Princess Luna is here,
she heard one passerby say.
Maybe she is here to offer herself to King Fenrir so she could put a stop to the upcoming attack.
Her Nag sister won't allow that.
The Nag comment grated on Twilight, but she steadfastly ignored it.
These ponies are ignorant, she told herself. They've never met Princess Celestia. Their anger over the division colors their judgment.
Several minutes later, they were inside the largest building in Bastion City, as Scarlet happily explained. This building served several functions. The lower part was a grand meeting hall, which gave the building its name. It was big enough to accommodate every pony in Bastion City. The upper parts served as a center of administration. The mayor and most of the officials had their offices and homes built there. As soon as Twilight and the others entered, Scarlet excused himself and stayed outside. The grand meeting hall was mostly empty, so Twilight quickly noticed a dark-coated pony heading towards them.
Princess Luna!
She exclaimed. When Luna saw that they were alive and well, she brightened as if a gigantic load just rose from her shoulders. She rushed over to them and was more than happy to give Twilight Sparkle a hug as soon as they came together.
I am so glad that you are safe, she said. I was afraid that none of you survived Fangbreaker's fall.
We almost didn't, Twilight replied. But we made it out safely thanks to the Legion.
The Legion's ponies are brave and good, Luna said. I knew I could rely on them. Now let us get all of you to safety. The Wolven will not stop with Fangbreaker. They are surely heading here already.
Twilight stepped back and looked away.
We know that, Your Highness, she said. We were planning on staying to help. I am joining the Legion, you see. We all are.
Luna looked at them in surprise.
You want to join the Legion? She asked. Do you really mean that?
I do, Twilight answered. Even if the cost is great, I want to do this.
You are very brave, Twilight Sparkle, Luna said. But I already knew that the moment I heard that you confronted my sister about the division. I was so sure that you would submit yourself to another memory lock.
This division must end, Twilight said. I couldn't turn away. At least one pony shares my beliefs.
Make that 6, Your Highness, Twilight said.
She smiled and looked to her friends.
6 ponies and a dragon.
I won't stop you, Luna said. I also came here to help, but you must prepare yourselves carefully. The Wolven are ruthless and depraved. Surely you've seen this for yourselves when they took the fort?
We have, Twilight replied.
About that, Your Highness.
Luna raised an eyebrow.
Yes? Our magic has been weakened here. Do you know how we can adjust to Prince Tirado's realm?
Luna nodded. I've noticed that, she said. My sister's barrier has caused a division in Equestria's magic as well. The magical drift here is enough to affect unicorns originating from the Heartland.
Can something be done about it? Twilight asked.
My brother would know. I can contact him right now. You will need his permission if you're going to join the Legion anyway.
Luna concentrated and her horn began to glow with magic. Twilight assumed that the magical drift did not affect the princess as Alicorn magic lay beyond that of mortal ponies. As magic coalesced in the room, the image of Prince Tirado appeared at the center of the hall. At once, Twilight and her friends fell to their knees. Even as a mere magical projection, Prince Tirado was an imposing sight. His fiery mane seemed to blaze even fiercer than the last time she remembered.
Well, well, Tirado said. My little sister was true to her word. She was quite quick about it, too. Good work there, Luna.
Thank you, big brother, Luna replied.
Tirado turned his attention on Twilight. The entire hall seemed to darken, and his voice was accompanied by a distant rumble of the earth shaking.
I've spent centuries trying to prevent that face you left on my sister back in the Heartland, Twilight Sparkle, he boomed. I've got a good mind to put your head between my hoofs and squeeze until it pops like the grape you resemble.
Twilight shook uncontrollably. This was nothing like her first meeting with the prince. Behind her, her friends were experiencing the same terror. She looked to Princess Luna, who was already standing between her and Prince Cerrado's image.
Surely you can't blame that on Twilight Sparkle, Luna said.
Of course I can, Cerrado said. But there's no point to it. I'm not going to do that because that would only make Celestia feel worse. So go with my little sister. Bring your friends too. All of you can stay here in the Grey Sentinel until you go back to the Heartland. No longer matter to Celestia or die of old age.
Twilight forced her legs to stop shaking and raised her head. What she had feared was happening. She was being given preferential treatment instead of being allowed to take part in defending Equestria.
Your Highness, wait, she pleaded. I don't want to spend my time here in the Barrier Lands hiding somewhere safe.
Is that defiance I'm hearing? Cerrado asked with a glare. You thwarted Luna's rebellion, refused to go along with Celestia's division. Now you're defying me? Do you have a problem with Alicorn's Twilight Sparkle?
No, Your Highness, Twilight said. All I want is to stand with the Legion and against Equestria's enemies. We're here to join up.
The Legion?
Cerrado looked perplexed.
You mean the Equestrian Legion? You want to risk your lives by fighting against Equestria's enemies, and you want to do it in the place where the fighting will be at its sickest?
Yes, Your Highness.
And what will I tell Celestia if you're killed? Should I shrug and say, I tried?
Big Brother, Twilight Sparkle and her friends are not Big Sister's property, Luna said. In the end, they should be allowed to decide for themselves where to go.
Cerrado didn't speak for some time. The ominous silence that filled the room was suffocating for Twilight and her friends.
I suppose shrugging and saying, I tried, isn't such a bad plan, he finally said. You have brought this upon yourself. My sisters and I have given you every way out there is, and you've persisted. I will respect that decision, and Celestia will have to do the same. Stay there if you want, Twilight Sparkle. Do try to be useful, Legionnaires.
Twilight sighed with relief, an expression that her friends echoed behind her.
Big Brother, their magic is still suppressed by the magical drift between your realm and Big Sister's, Luna said. Isn't there something you can do?
Yes, there's a ritual for it. You can perform it yourself, Luna. Just extend your hoofs over them and repeat after me.
With a nod, Luna did as her brother asked.
Tura,
Cerrado said.
Tura,
Luna repeated.
Laura.
Lura.
Lay.
Lay.
Now turn around with your front hoofs extended, Cerrado said.
Luna did as she was told.
By moving your rump, spell out the names of the unicorns who have to adjust.
What?
Do it now or you'll have to start over.
With a confused look on her face, Luna did as instructed.
Twilight Sparkle
was first, followed by
Rarity.
Twilight waited patiently for the ritual to end. When she saw how silly Princess Luna looked, she averted her eyes to keep from laughing. The princess was doing this for her. It was beyond disrespectful to laugh now. She waited for some time, expecting some kind of great magical effect. There was no flash of light or an aura of crackling energy, only a tense silence. A great booming laugh from Cerrado shattered that silence. The rest of Twilight's friends could only look at each other awkwardly.
I can't believe you actually did that,
Cerrado said between guffaws. Luna put her hoofs down and stared angrily at the image.
Big Brother, she exclaimed. I'm serious.
Oh, you just wish there was some magical ritual you could perform, would you?
Cerrado asked once he settled down.
Unfortunately, there isn't. Their magic will adjust by themselves as they spend more time in my realm.
He turned his attention towards Twilight.
Good luck with recruitment.
all of you. I will be there soon. With that, his image dissipated.
Honestly, Luna huffed. Joking around in the middle of a crisis.
Twilight suppressed a smile for the princess's sake. I'm glad he let us stay, she said.
Luna smiled in return. I'm glad too. Let us see this to the end, Twilight Sparkle.
The rest of them looked at each other. It was official now. They were joining the Equestrian Legion.